This is Ann Arbor Stories. I'm Rich Reddy. Quote, "The blind pig thinks that because it hosted Nirvana in the 90s, it's the only place worth going in Ann Arbor. But the truth is that it's just a rundown venue with a raging superiority complex and a poor selection of alcohol. After last night's show, we've decided we never want to go back. The staff are the rudest I've ever met. They clearly hate their jobs, and they don't want to respect their paying customers or any of the performers who want to bring them business." Later in the night, the staff decided they didn't want to stay the whole evening, so they told the artists that they had to cut their sets way short and had their sound technician cut their sound when they wanted to leave. This cut the show short by about an hour. The staff immediately yelled at everybody to get out now and didn't give the artists or guests a comfortable amount of time to collect their things and finish their drinks. Some additional things. They don't have a restroom available for customers, so you have to go downstairs into a different bar. The venue is dirty. The only food they offer is way oversalted popcorn. The owner is straight up rude. The bouncers literally threw the IDs of paying customers back at them. The only positive thing I have to say about the Blind Pig is that their sound technician, Orion, is a great guy. He's incredibly helpful and seems to legitimately care about the performers. But he is the only decent part of the Blind Pig today. Point is, if you're looking to hear great music, support local artists, or just have a nice night out, I'd highly recommend looking elsewhere. 1 star. Danielle Tanzer, Facebook review, August 16th, 2016. On February 23rd, 2017, the Blind Pig and 8-Ball Saloon were listed for sale by Swisher Commercial. 6,970 square feet, 2 stories, 2 half baths, no bedrooms, no list price, just best offer only. Liquor license included. The brick building housing the Blind Pig and 8-Ball was an addition to the larger complex that started as a brewery way back in the 1850s. In the first city directory of 1860, the main building is listed as G.F. Hauser's City Brewery. In 1868, it's listed as John Ryer's City Brewery, and in 1872, Eckhart Brothers Brewery. The building housing the Pig and the 8-Ball was added in 1865, and originally served as offices and eventually a walk-in safe for the Ann Arbor Central Mills, which acquired the property in 1882. The Blind Pig has had 3 phases of ownership. Tom Isaiah and Jerry Delguidis opened the Pig in 1972. They sold to David Whitmore in 1979, who sold to the Goffett family in 1983. Isaiah was a senior at the University of Michigan when he and business partner Delguidis bought the mill's add-on building and converted it into a European-style coffee bar slash blues club. The partners built a little stage and a bar in the basement, and on the main floor added handmade furniture and top-of-the-line espresso machines. They called it the Blind Pig Cafe, slang used by speakeasy owners back in Prohibition times to describe cops who were on the take and would look the other way for a regular second income. The term was also applied to lower-class establishments that sold alcohol during Prohibition. The owners of these establishments, like a saloon or a bar, would charge customers to see an attraction, like an animal, and then serve a complimentary alcoholic beverage, thus circumventing the law. The Blind Pig was one of the pioneers of Ann Arbor's now-entrenched coffee culture, serving cappuccinos, fancy coffees, and pastries in the ground floor cafe by day, and hosting blues acts in the intimate 60-seat basement space by night. The Blind Pig established itself as the best place in Ann Arbor for blues, attracting talent and crowds beyond its meager capacity. The blues scene at the Pig got so hot that in 1977, Delguidis and another friend started their own record label called Blind Pig Records, signing and releasing their favorite acts. With the business turning a regular profit and becoming a cornerstone for live music in the city, Isaiah and Delguidis sold. That was always the plan. They were 20 and 21 when they bought the place, built it, and then sold for a profit and went on to do other things. People were pissed, but the partners had other ambitions to chase. Delguidis drove to the West Coast to run Blind Pig Records full-time, eventually signing and releasing multiple Grammy-nominated artists, while Isaiah pursued his love of coffee culture full-time. Not much is written of the second owner, David Whitmore. The official history on the Blind Pig website ignores him completely. But in 1983, the story picks up again, when Roy and Betty Goffett become the third owners of the pig. Roy grew up in Liverpool, England, and watched the Beatles rise to fame. He made a fortune in the steel business and married a woman named Betty, whose family wasn't hurting for money either. Roy always dreamed of owning a music club, so Betty bought him one. Their ambitions were bigger than the cafe and its small blues space. They expanded the Blind Pig into the space that was once called the Treehouse, a woodworking studio, gutting it and building a nice-sized stage and a bar in its place. The remodel scrapped the stage in the basement but kept the bar, and they rebranded this basement section of the business the 8-Ball Saloon. If messing with the feng shui of the beloved Blind Pig Cafe wasn't enough, the Goffetts did something next that all but guaranteed they'd alienate the last remaining holdouts from the old blues club days. Blind Pig expands, adds dance floor, disc jockey. That was the Ann Arbor News headline on April 7th, 1984. The old pig faithful were floored. To keep up with the times and make their venue actually profitable, the Goffetts made the Blind Pig a live music and electronic music venue. They'd book live bands most of the week and have DJs spin on non-live nights, a departure from the live or nothing olden days. They also bar rescued the Blind Pig into a Capone-era Chicago speakeasy, which led them to decorate the new space with lots of mirrors, cheesy black and white gangster movie posters, and a garish coat of paint, all of which prompted one reviewer to remark that it looked like a Las Vegas nightmare. The Goffetts hired the same booker who was getting acts to play Rick's American Cafe, but that idea was quickly proven to be flawed. Instead, early in 1985, they stepped up and hired a well-known local booking company called Prism Productions to bring the acts they felt they needed to get the pig back on its feet. At the same time, they also reimagined the 8-Ball Saloon as more of a games room. Pool, darts, shuffleboard, that kind of thing. Live acts, DJs and dancing on the main floor, and drinking and games in the basement. The modern ecosystem of the businesses was set. The Capone stuff didn't go over very well, and eventually they removed the ugliness and, thanks to the skills of Lee Barry of Prism, the Blind Pig started booking national acts that were touring through the Midwest, signing them for one-night stops in the 400-person venue. These were the heydays of the Blind Pig, bringing in Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, the Smashing Pumpkins, the White Stripes, Dave Matthews, John Mayer, Wiz Khalifa, Sonic Youth, Soul Asylum, and, most famously, Nirvana. If you've heard of the Blind Pig, you've probably heard that Kurt Cobain called the Blind Pig his favorite venue of all time. Twice, apparently. Nirvana visited the Blind Pig during their 1990 Bleach tour, which up to that point was not going well. The show at the Pig was different. They played to a sold-out and enthusiastic crowd, partied late into the night, and slept on the floor of the Prism Productions office because they didn't want to pay for a motel. That show, all 50 minutes of which you can watch on YouTube, turned their spirits around and the band never forgot Ann Arbor's Little Pig. In 1990, the Blind Pig also briefly flirted with adding topless go-go dancers to the mix, but opted not to fight City Hall and Ann Arbor's conservative businessmen who had just snuffed out the city's infamous red light district. The Blind Pig kept getting major national and international acts as a well-respected mid-sized venue in town that was easy to deal with. Ann Arbor residents were willing to pay for live music, and with a well-off student population, the Blind Pig could charge decent ticket prices, giving bands a financial reason to play the pig. But what truly kept the pig and the 8-Ball afloat all these years wasn't the music. It was the booze. Lots and lots of booze. Through fat times and lean, the fine people of Ann Arbor have swilled beer and gargled well liquor on the main floor, but most importantly, in that dingy 8-Ball basement. As of March 30th, 2017, the 8-Ball is the only real dive bar left in Ann Arbor. People who love the pig are worried that when someone buys the building, it could signal the loss of yet another live music venue. The Blind Pig could go the way of Joe's Star Lounge, Mr. Flood's Party, the Apartment Lounge, Bird of Paradise, all gone. What might be rarer than going to a place to hear the next Screaming Trees, or having a place to shake your rump at dance parties like Soul Club or The Bang, is the presence of a real, honest-to-goodness dive bar in this town. Not upscale dive bars, of which Ann Arbor has a few, but broken booth, stinky, cash-only joints like the 8-Ball. The Blind Pig I could take or leave, But the eight ball will be missed dearly if someone pays $1 million for that building and turns it into a cheese shop. Okay, a cheese shop in the eight ball would be amazing. If someone tries to turn it into another Life is Good shop, that would be the worst. No part of the Facebook review that opened this episode is untrue. The Pig and the Eight Ball have a bad selection of alcohol, the staff do mostly suck, and many of them act like they can't wait to go home. The place is dirty, the popcorn is the saltiest you'll ever taste, and the bathrooms are bad, though not nearly as bad as they used to be. Back when you could smoke in bars, the air in the Eight Ball hung with a perpetual fog of gray death. It was all you could smell, except for the occasional whiff of stale beer or puke. People wore special hoodies they kept on their porches or out of their homes so the smells in the eight ball didn't permanently infiltrate clothes that they actually cared about. Now without the smoke, all you can smell is the puke and the stale beer. If all that sounds like a list of complaints, it's actually quite the opposite. It's my love letter to the best dive bar in town. The only dive bar in town. The theme of a lot of research we do on this podcast is old things go away and new things take their place. Famous locations, homes, businesses. Change has accelerated in Ann Arbor over the last 5 years, and a lot of longtime institutions are gone, replaced by businesses hoping they can weather the storm and make things work. The old Main City Brewery and Central Mills building sold late in 2016 to buyers from New York City, who said they plan to renovate the series of bars inside the building and reopen in the fall of 2017. Somebody will buy the Blind Pig and the Eight Ball. And someone will change it. Tear down a stage here, put up a bar there, maybe hang up a bunch of black and white gangster movie posters. If not the next buyer, maybe the buyer after that. Or the buyer after that. For a lot of people, that sucks. Like, it must have sucked when the original owner sold in 1979, ending the good thing they had going. Like, it must have sucked when the Goffets added a dance floor and DJs. Like, it must have sucked when Aaron Carter played two shows at the Blind Pig in 2016. It's okay, listeners. It's okay. If you live long enough, you're around when things you care about die. So grab a handful of free popcorn, pay in cash, and raise a glass to the old Blind Pig and Eight Ball Saloon. Mourn you till I join you, you magnificent bastards. Ann Arbor Stories is presented by Rumble Pack Media in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library. This episode was written and read by me, Rich Reddy, with recording and sound production by Brian Peters. Thanks to the Ann Arbor District Library archive staff, especially Lucy Rohrig, for deep diving into old articles about the Blind Pig for this story. You can check out all the old newspaper clippings and photos at oldnews.aadl.com. Thanks so much for listening.